Sai Ram, dear listeners from all around the world, a heartfelt welcome to today's afternoon satsang. You know, it's a thought that goes on in my head many times before the afternoon satsang that this is truly a global satsang, because we have some of you just waking up to hear this, some of you just putting off your sleep for a little more time so that you can hear this, some of you possibly delaying your lunch, or some of you have had an early lunch. So we have people from all time zones, from all countries joining us, and it's indeed a wonderful feeling. And both Prem and myself, we offer our grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan for having given us this wonderful opportunity to be part of this global satsang. This week we will be continuing from where we left last week. Last week the theme was, how do we respond when somebody criticizes our guru, our god, our swami. We had discussed some practical points, some experiences, as well as many interesting points that were shared to us by our listeners through Facebook or through mails. Today we will be focusing on one particular aspect of this response, which is what we call as the be, do, tell hierarchy possibly. So I'm sure it will be very interesting. I'm sure it will be very enlightening, and we both look forward to it. So before we go any ahead, let me welcome Brother Prem. Sai Ram Prem.
Sai Ram Arvind. And from the responses that we got, I think it's a topic which is quite useful for everybody, because all of us are quite bad at handling ourselves when we are hit in the weakest point, right? As we spoke of last week, when asked something or when spoken something rudely about something relating to Swami, it always comes from, most of us, we discussed this last time, that our devotion to Swami, our faith to Swami is invariably a gut feeling. It is never something which comes at the end of extensive reasoning or intellectual argumentation within ourselves. So when somebody comes and raises a point, we probably not always have the right defense to give. But I think that is what makes us restless. We know that there must be a reason. Probably we don't get the right reason. Or we might have the reason, and as we said, there are different types of argumentation. The other person might not be in any mood to listen to your argument. So at that time, all of this needs to be in your mind, that, you know, how much is good enough, and where do you need to stop and you need to draw yourself away. So all of that matters, and that is why I think probably this satsang really had a good reception from our listeners too.
Absolutely. And dear listeners, we thought that today, before we begin sharing our thoughts, we can take guidance from our beloved Bhagwan himself. This is from a discourse that Bhagwan has given, in which he speaks on how Gautam Buddha, how did he face criticism? And this will be a very fantastic starting point for us as we embark on this journey of be, do and tell. So right away we shall now listen to that discourse clip.
This clip is from the discourse that Swami delivered in 1984, the 9th of June, right? Or is the 6th of September?
It's the 6th of September.
6th of September, right. So it says 0906. So it's the 6th of September. So we'll listen to that. This particular episode, I think Swami has narrated it many times. We will carry a discussion forward after listening to the script.
Once upon a time, Buddha was going, begging for alms.
Tanu cheravasinatti gramam samipistundali.
He was about to reach the village which he was attending.
Aa gramamu lopala andaru kudanu Buddhunu paina amitamainatundi vishwasam kaliginatundi varu.
All those people in the village were having a lot of affection for Buddha.
Aithe gramamu samipistu undagane kontha mandi ee rowdies durmargulu cheri ఇతని అడ్డగించి అనేక విధములుగా అతని దూషిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
బట్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ హీ రీచ్డ్ దట్ పర్టిక్యులర్ విలేజ్ ఇన్ అవుట్స్కర్ట్స్ సమ్ అన్డిజైరబుల్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ దేర్ బిగాన్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ హిమ్.
కానీ ఈ బుద్ధుడు ప్రయాణం చేయకుండా ఒక రాతి పైన కూర్చున్నాడు.
హీ స్టాప్డ్ దేర్ అండ్ హీ జస్ట్ సాట్ డౌన్ ఆన్ ఎ స్టోన్.
నాయన, మీరు నన్ను దూషించటంలో ఉండినటువంటి ఆనందం మీకేమిటి అని ప్రశ్నించాడు.
హీ ఆస్క్డ్ దెమ్, "Well, gentlemen, what is the pleasure that you get in criticizing me?"
దీనికి కారణాలు వారు చెప్పకుండా మరింత హేయంగా అతన్ని దూషించడానికి ప్రారంభించారు.
వితౌట్ గివింగ్ ఎనీ రీజన్స్ ఫర్ దాట్ దే ఇంక్రీజ్డ్ దేర్ క్రిటిసిజం అగైన్స్ట్ బుద్ధ.
సరే, ఎంతసేపు మీకు ఇష్టంగా ఉంటుందో దూషించమని తాను కూర్చున్నాడు.
బుద్ధ సెడ్, గో ఆన్ యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ యు వాంట్.
సరే, వారు తిట్టి తిట్టి నోరు నొప్పి వచ్చేసింది. వారింకా వెళ్లిపోవటం సిద్ధంగా ఉంటున్నారు.
దే క్రిటిసైజ్డ్ ఏ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ టైర్డ్నెస్. దే వర్ టైర్డ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ అండ్ దే వర్ అబౌట్ టు గో.
అప్పుడు వారికి వెళ్లిపోయే ముందుగా బుద్ధుడు చెప్తున్నాడు, నాయన, రాబోయేటువంటి గ్రామము లోపల నా పైన అమితంగా ప్రీతి కలిగినటువంటి వారు అందరు. నేను ఆ గ్రామంలో చేరిన తర్వాత మీరు ఈ విధంగా ప్రవర్తిస్తే మిమ్మల్ని ముక్కలు ముక్కలు చేస్తారు. కనుక మీ ప్రమాదమును తప్పించే నిమిత్తమై మీరు ఎంతవరకు నన్ను దూషించాలని ఇష్టం ఉంటుందో అంతవరకు దూషించడానికి మీకు అవకాశం ఇచ్చే కోసం ఇంతసేపు నేను ఇక్కడ కూర్చున్నాను.
When they were about to go, Buddha addressed them, children, I want to tell you one truth. In the village where I am going, all those people love me so much that if only you criticize like that, they will cut you to pieces. And in order to save you from that danger, I allowed you to revile and to criticize me here itself. I have given you
enough time. Santosha pettalante manam enno vidhamuluga shravapadali tanam veyam cheyali.
If you want to give joy to people, you have to spend a lot of money and make number of.
Kanuka nenu inaadu ee naya paisa kharchu kaakunda ఖర్చు చేయకుండా ఏ విధమైన శ్రమ పడకుండా మీకు ఇంతమందికి ఇంత ఆనందాన్ని నేను అందిస్తున్నాను, ఎంత హాయి నాకు ఈనాడు అన్నాడు.
బుద్ధ సాహెబ్, వితౌట్ స్పెండింగ్ వితౌట్ మేకింగ్ ఎనీ ఎఫర్ట్ ఐ హావ్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు గివ్ యూ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ జాయ్ బై అలవింగ్ యూ టు క్రిటిసైజ్ మీ. హౌ హ్యాపీ ఐ ఆమ్.
నన్ను దూషించడం మీకు ఆనందంగా ఉండాలంటే ఆ ఆనందానికి నేనే కదా కారణం.
If you are deriving some joy by criticizing me, then I am responsible for your joy.
Yedu meeku vidhamuga meeku trupti kaliginchanu kabatti ee trupti kaliginchatam cheta naaku chaala aanandam anukunnadu.
Somehow or the other, I have been able to give you some kind of satisfaction and joy. By giving you satisfaction, I am deriving satisfaction.
Parulu santrupti pette kosamani aneka mandi chatralu kattistaru.
For giving joy and satisfaction, number of chavulu
trugistaru.
Well served that.
ఇంకా అనేక విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఉపకారమైన కర్మలు ఆచరిస్తారు.
ఏ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ యూస్ఫుల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆర్ అండర్టేకన్.
కానీ ఇంత శ్రమ లేకుండా ఈ విధంగా ఈ దుర్మార్గం సంతోషపెట్టినానంటే నేను ఎంతో గొప్ప పని చేసినటువంటి వాడిని అన్నాడు.
Without undertaking any such activities, if I have been able to give so much of satisfaction for these wicked people, I think I must be happy.
Mari inka oka vishayam entundi dinini mariki chakkaga hrudayaniki hattukone tattu bodhinchadu.
One more important thing was explained to them in such a way that it made indelible impression on their hearts.
Nee intiki oka bichchagaadu vachadu.
Say, suppose a beggar comes to your house.
Bhavati bichchandehi ani adigadu.
He asked for alms. Bhavati bichchandehi.
నీవు బిచ్చం తీసుకుని వచ్చావు.
యు బ్రింగ్ ఆర్మ్స్.
కానీ నేను అడిగిన బిచ్చం కాలేదు, మరొక బిచ్చం తెచ్చావు.
యు హావ్ బ్రాట్ ద వన్ విచ్ ఐ హావ్ నాట్ ఆస్క్డ్ ఫర్.
అప్పుడు నేను ఆ బిచ్చం తీసుకోకపోతే నీవు ఆ బిచ్చాన్ని ఏం చేస్తావు అన్నాడు.
సపోజ్ ఐ డోంట్ యాక్సెప్ట్ ది ఆర్మ్స్ విచ్ యు ఆర్ గివింగ్, వాట్ విల్ యు డూ?
నీవు తీసుకోకపోతే నేను వెనుక్కు తీసుకుని పోతాను, ఆ బిచ్చం నాకే చెందుతుంది అన్నాడు.
హి సెడ్, వెల్ ఇఫ్ యు డోంట్ యాక్సెప్ట్ ఐ విల్ టేక్ ఇట్ బ్యాక్, దట్ విల్ బి బిలాంగింగ్ టు మీ ఓన్లీ.
అదే విధంగానే నన్ను నీవు దూషణ అనేటువంటి బిచ్చం తెచ్చి నాకు ఇవ్వడానికి ప్రయత్నించావు, దాన్ని నేను తీసుకోలేను.
సిమిలర్లీ యు ఆర్ గెటింగ్ దిస్ క్రిటిసిజం అండ్ యు ఆర్ జస్ట్ గివింగ్ దట్ యాజ్ ఆర్మ్స్ టు మీ. ఐ హావ్ నాట్ యాక్సెప్టెడ్ దట్.
అప్పుడు ఈ బిచ్చం ఎవరికి చేరుతుంది?
టు హూమ్ వుడ్ దిస్ గో దెన్?
రీడైరెక్ట్, నీకే చేరుతుంది.
ఇట్ గెట్స్ రీడైరెక్టెడ్ అండ్ ఇట్ బిలాంగ్స్ టు యూ.
కనుక నిన్ను నీవే దూషించుకుంటున్నావు కానీ నన్ను కాదు.
That way you are criticizing yourself and you are not criticizing.
Manam oka register cover kin rasi oka mitruniki post lo veste,
you will send a registered post, a letter by registered post to a friend.
Aa friend aa register cover nu teeskokunda pote,
if the friend does not accept that registered
postal
post,
department lo em avutunda cover?
What would the postal department do with that cover?
Adi redirect evaru pampicharo vaadiki cherthundi.
It will be redirected back to the person who has sent it.
అదే విధంగానే నీవు ఒకరిని దూషిస్తూ వచ్చావంటే లేక ఒకరిని విమర్శిస్తూ వచ్చావంటే వారు దానిని లక్ష్యం చేయకపోతే ఆ విమర్శ నీకే రీడైరెక్ట్ అయిపోతుంది.
ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ ఆర్ రివైలింగ్ ఎనీ పర్సన్, ఇఫ్ దే డు నాట్ యాక్సెప్ట్ ఇట్ విల్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు యూ.
కనుక ద్వేషం అనేటువంటిది, అసూయ అనేటువంటిది తమను తాము బాధించుకోవటమే తప్ప అన్యులను బాధిస్తున్నామనుకోవటం కేవలం అల్పతృప్తి.
It is only a mean type of satisfaction to think that with jealousy and hatred we have been giving trouble to others. We are not giving trouble to others, we are troubling ourselves.
So that was the discourse clip, dear listeners, and it is so beautiful there, Prem, you know. Two things. First thing that Swami says about Buddha, thinking that I'm giving so much joy to you without having to spend any effort or any money, so it's great. I think that requires an awesome perspective change and attitude change. And the second thing where he's saying that your abuses hurt me only if I accept them. If I choose to reject them, they go back to you. And Swami gives also a further example of a letter, a registered post, which if the recipient does not accept, it goes back to the sender. In a modern day parlance, it's equal to clicking the spam button on an email or possibly the email bouncing back. So criticism becomes valid only when we accept it. And this is such a beautiful message that Swami is giving to us through the life of Buddha. But you know, listening to this, I feel that in order to respond in that manner, one has to be like a Buddha, right?
Right, absolutely. I think the whole idea is, I mean, if we operate from that level, we don't need this satsang at all. The problem is we don't operate from that level. And the thing is, even when you're not perfect, from where your actions come, can you ensure that you do actions which probably will come from a level of perfection? You know, that's what we generally try to do in spirituality. As they say that, you know, if you are perfect, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema will become spontaneous to you. When you're not perfect, you try to follow Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema so that at least your actions reflect a certain amount of perfection in them. So that's the whole idea. But the analogy which Swami gave was so very important because it shows us where we are supposed to head towards. You know, when Swami says that you give me praise, I don't accept it. You give me criticism, I don't accept it. How many of us are in that level where we can look at somebody's criticism and praise as just objects which I can take or leave? Because many times when praise comes to us, it doesn't wait for us to accept it. You know, it's already become a part of our head. Mm. And it's already become, as Swami would say, air in the head.
Like they say, a pat on the back makes the head swell.
Right, exactly. So when we are not able to have that kind of maturity to handle praise, we are equally immature when we handle criticism. And that is where, that shows where we stand. And probably this example or analogy which Swami gives is an example of where we should head towards.
You know, it becomes very clear that a lot depends on what we are actually, you know, more than what we speak in response to the criticism. Our actions matter, and our actions are heavily dependent on what we are. Buddha was the Buddha, and that is why his actions were like that. That and his words were so loving. I'm reminded of a thing that I had read off the internet the other day, wherein, you know, a mother, in order to teach her daughter, keeps 3 vessels of boiling water, puts a carrot in one, puts an egg in the second, and puts coffee beans in the third. And then she asks the daughter, who are you of these 3? And when the daughter doesn't understand, she goes on to explain, saying that, see, this boiling water represents the tough situations we come across in life. Mm-hmm. There are some people who are like the carrot. They're hard, they're rigid, they're strong. But once they go through this experience, they come out all squishy and soft, and they're broken down. There are some like the egg. You know, on the face of it, it appears as if no difference has happened. But the egg that goes in has a liquid interior. But when it's boiled, the inside gets hardened. That's what happens to people. It looks like nothing, the difficult situation has not touched them, but they were soft inside. They just get hardened because of this, and they're never the same again. A soft-hearted person becomes a hard-hearted person. But there are some others who are like this coffee bean, you know. The coffee bean, when put in a difficult situation, it changes the nature of water itself. It changes the situation itself. It changes the environment itself. So it is up to us to decide whether you want to be a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean. And I feel in order to do this, it requires years of sadhana. It requires us to improve our own selves. And that is why today's theme is be, do, and tell. You know, where the be part comes from our own self-effort and lot of practice.
Exactly. You know, when you look at it, be, do, tell, the series as such, I mean, the way it has been put, the easiest thing is to tell. So always we want to take recourse in trying to argue it out, trying to tell people, and when somebody comes up with a criticism, we want to, you know, probably outshout them in that manner, because that's the easiest thing. But what Swami wants is the other way around, where, you know, you be what you're supposed to be, and that itself becomes a form of argument, which is actually the tougher argument. In fact, probably at this point, we'll invite one more member into our afternoon satsang. No stranger to all of you, Brother Sai Prakash is here. He's here for a specific reason, because, you know, all of us, I think, are a little disadvantaged in the sense that we probably are in our comfort zones in the ashram. You're surrounded by devotees. I pick up the mic on radio and I speak, only devotees listen to me most of the time. So I get away with all my, you know, failings in my talent as well as in my ability to convey some of Swami's message. But when you are out there and you have to face people who are literally there to tear you apart, to see what you really stand for, you know, what you really represent, that's when you really are put to test. Right? So I think Sai Prakash, from our side, he went to Discovery for a few months. He was there doing a short internship and training. So during that time, the interesting thing was, you know, one thing is the world outside is not bad. I'm sure Sai Prakash will agree with me. But they don't want to buy anything without being convinced about it. That is one thing which is characteristic of most young people these days. So that is why what you say cannot be just words, but it needs to be something which is backed by yourself, not anything else. And I think that is something which you learned there, right?
So let's now listen to the story of our own coffee bean in the boiling water of Discovery, his experience. I'm sure it will be an enlightening thing.
No, I mean, thank you. Thank you for having me in this show. It is a very important topic, because I'm not sure whether I'm still the coffee bean, but judging by the fact that many of them did come to Kshantriyam after my visit, it did have some kind of an impact on them. Basically, all that you were saying is very, very relevant. And when you are out there and there is somebody wanting to put you down, now, if somebody comes to you and, you know, on a one-on-one, and they say, look, I don't believe in your Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You can just handle him. But they don't do it that way. Because when somebody is not sure of what they're going to say, they want support.
Mm-hmm.
So they try ganging up.
So it's always in the presence of others. So that was the first thing that kind of struck me. So I had this experience, actual experience. Now, after I went there, after a couple of months, got quite friendly with the whole team there, and very nice people. And so I was spending time with them. And in fact, they would always invite me for a session of smoke when they would go for smoking. Mm-hmm. So they would say that, you also come with us. And I said, I don't smoke. Why do you? No. We want to see you not smoking, and then we want to still smoke. And every time they would say, maybe today he will take one smoke, he will have one puff. They will try to. But so they would ask me, why, unless you smoke, how would you know that, you know, you're not addicted to it? So I would say, you smoke to get that kind of a high. And I come with an all-time high. So I'm always high. So I really don't need to smoke. They said, okay, there's no point arguing with this guy. So one of those days, we were standing there, and I remember it was quite hot in the afternoon. And I would always wonder, how do people smoke in the mid-afternoon? I mean, give me a break. How do you actually smoke in the mid-afternoon? But anyway, it was happening, and there was this one of my colleague who kind of had a lot of, hatred for Swami.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what word comes to my mind, because that's exactly what he had.
Spitting venom against Swami.
Yeah, he was really very, very, he had a lot of hate for Swami. And of course, he had his own logic, and he had his own reasons what drove him to becoming like that. Very nice person otherwise,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know this aspect of him. And he saved up all his venom for actually one of such occasions when we all were together.
Mm-hmm.
See, this was a couple of months after I had actually joined. So in 1.5-2 months, people knew, okay, this guy is from an ashram. And which ashram? This is an ashram near Bangalore. and have you heard of Satya Sai Baba? Oh, that Satya Sai Baba. Okay. So that much was common knowledge. But I didn't know that this guy had something, you know, welling up inside him. So on that occasion, he came and then in everybody's presence, I'm not sure whether he told anybody else or no, he just started opening fire. Opened fire. He said, hey, your Sai Baba is that fraud. That fellow, what does he do? He puts his hand into this pot and he says he materializes vibhuti. All that is fake. This is all sleight of hand. Materializations is not this thing. That went on and on. Now, the moment he started this conversation, everybody looked at me, obviously, because he is pointing towards me and he's actually pointing this entire argument to shake me. Now at that moment, a very strange reaction came about in me. I was dead calm. I was very calm. And the others were shocked. They were actually boiling. They wanted to smash up this guy, literally. And I was very calm. And I had no idea why.
Then, and they wanted to smash not because of their loyalty to Swami, but because they feel you're a nice guy and you don't deserve this.
No, actually they had no idea of Swami, they had no knowledge of Swami. So he shouted out and I just smiled. I let the session pass, there was no this thing. Then he said, what, you're not going to answer anything, are you going to say anything? I said, see, you know that I revere him and respect him and I worship him. Now, if you want to know about him, over a smoke is not what I would give him more respect than this. If you want to know about him, you come. Let's have a session in private. Let's talk about him. That's where I left it. Now, as this guy, he went off in a huff. He was really put off by my answer because he thought I would retaliate and he could shout back. And so, but the other friends were equally surprised. They caught me the moment this guy went. They said, my God, I don't know what happened to this guy today. Why did he pour out like this? Maybe it was just kind of building up inside him. Mm-hmm. But we were more surprised about your reaction, man. We wanted to jump in. If you had told even one sentence, we would have supported you. We all are waiting to back you up and all that. But you let us down. But we are surprised. How come you are so calm?
Mm.
You worship him, no? You worship him. How come you are so calm? Then I said, see, the immediate thought that came to my mind was, there are three possibilities. One is, you are telling all this to change my attitude. Okay. First of all, you are free to have your own attitude. You have a particular understanding. You have come to a particular conclusion. Everybody is free to have their own conclusion. They are free to have their own perspective and their understanding of anybody. The second thing is, you are trying to convince me and you are trying to change my attitude. Well, that's not going to happen. First of all, you are free to have your attitude. That's your wish. So I need not interfere in that. If you are trying to change me, that's not going to happen. So I need not be bothered about it. Third alternative is, if you are seriously interested in actually knowing about Swami and interested in knowing more about him and why I revere him, yes, that is an alternative which we need to sit and properly discuss with due respect. And that's exactly what I told him. People were like totally bold, man. So that group of youngsters, all between 25 to 27, they said, my God, if anybody had told anything like this about whom we love, we would have reacted totally differently. And that was Swami's grace, because this was the first experience I was having with a direct, you know, head-on collision, as it were.
Confrontation,
yeah. But then what happened? That boy actually came.
Without the smoke.
He didn't leave it. He said, well, now you have invited me for such a session and you are going to have it. Because he had done enough research on Swami to be able to quote everything that Swami has done and to be able to negate it.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows the background. He knows all the seva activities. So we had this session. He came after the working hours. He came to my place in the office. And he just started again opening fire. Again I was calm. So then he said, I know what you're going to say, man. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, don't look at his divine qualities. Don't look at miracles. Look at the work he did. look at the work. I know you're going to say, I said, see, I have not spoken anything as yet. Then he said,
oh, I know, I should not say that.
So I was just silent. Then he said, what big work? This is all converting black money into white. He has taken black money from people and he is converting it away because he has a lot of government influence, a lot of this thing. He is able to do it. Nobody is able to catch him. Big deal and all that. So then, as Prem just said, you have to hit it where it hurts. I didn't know that this was his weak spot. You know, this again, I just prayed to Swami. And I said, see, you have spoken for 10 minutes. Can I ask you 2-3 questions? So he said, yeah, go ahead. I said, why do you work in discovery? Hey, now, please, don't start this roundabout thing of trying. No, only 3 questions. Why do you work in discovery? Of course, I have to earn for myself. I love my family. And I have to earn my livelihood. I said, great, fantastic. You love your family. You're ready to do anything for them. You just said that starting an ashram was the easiest way to make money. Drop discovery. Go and start an ashram. You have said that Sai Baba has not spoken anything new. It's all there in the scriptures. It's there in different religions. He is putting it together in an intelligent way. Do it. Stand on a platform. If you really believe in it, go and do it. Why speak about it? That fellow was stumped. He had no answer. I said, see, you are talking about somebody who's just by some fluke he is getting popularity. Why don't you do it if you love your family so much? Then, you know, he had no answer. He said, Sai, actually, you know, I'm a hypocrite, man. When I'm having problem and all that, I say, God, help me and all that. But, you know, the rest of the time, I think, where is this, all this? He doesn't pray to Swami, but he looks up to God as such. Then I said, you know something, what? He said, what? He said, I'm also an hypocrite. Hey, no, Sai, don't tell that. Yeah. I know you love Swami. You're a great devotee of Baba and all that. Satya Sai Baba, I don't know how he caught you. You're a good guy, man. I know you're a good guy. No? I said, no, I really mean it. He said, no, I don't understand what you're saying. I said, see, Swami says, his definition of one who is devoted to him, a bhakta, is one who takes happiness and sorrow, plays and blame with equanimity. I have not yet reached that stage. So I am also a hypocrite. I am saying I am his devotee. I am still a hypocrite. That fellow, I think he went underground. You know, I was just thinking of these lines and I was reading some of, Swami's discourses. We played some relevant portions. 2 passages which stood out again. Mm-hmm. You know, he says in this milestone speech, which is actually a collection of several passages from Swami's discourses.
Multiple discourses. Mm.
He says, bring something into your daily practice as evidence of you having known the secret of higher life from me. Bring something into your daily life, bring it into practice. Show that you have greater brotherliness. See, the lines are so beautiful. Show that you have greater brotherliness. Speak with more sweetness and self-control. Bear defeat as well as victory with calm resignation. So, I mean, this is exactly what Swami wants us to do. And on the other hand, now, since the topic is about how to handle criticism about Swami, there are several aspects to the whole argument, but this is one more dimension. In the same collection of passages, he says, he is not telling us how we should handle the criticism. He is talking about what we should actually do. He says, the Lord has no intention to publicize himself. I do not need publicity, nor does any other avatar of the Lord. What are you daring to publicize? Me? What do you know about me? You speak one thing about me today and the other tomorrow. Your faith has not become unshakable. You praise me when things go well and blame me when they go wrong. So I was just thinking, we have to first of all realize, like he said, like Arvind just said, that because it was Buddha, his reaction was such. And Swami wants us all to become like that. And he wants us to actually be. That's, I think, that be.
Absolutely. You know, even as you saying what we were saying, reminds me of a very beautiful interaction which happened between some students and Swami just before the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those days we knew that Swami would, vacation time, most of the boys would go, but there would always be a little, you know, that sticky part of the group which will never leave.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Swami would have to really scrub them off to make them go for a vacation, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes Swami would have to call, you know, literally round them up and say that if you're not going and I'm not going to look at your faces and things like that. So that was one of those sessions.
Mm.
And Swami called all of these boys and said, I don't know what you'll do. Book your tickets and go home. Spend some time with your parents and come. So finally, they were all convinced and they were leaving. So it was a nice session which Swami was having with these students. Before they leave, just to tell them, what are you going to do during your vacation? So Swami is asking one by one, what will you do, what will you do? So one boy said, Swami, I'll go and sing bhajans in my samiti, because they invite me every time I go. I said, okay. One more boy said, Swami, I'll go play tabla. One boy said, Swami, I'll go give speeches, because they call me. One said, Swami, I'll go, Balvika students are there, I'll speak to them. You know. So Swami heard all this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a typical Swami way, he gave, he didn't tell them anything, but he told them a story. Right? And Swami told them, you know, there were this group of people who saw a late night movie in Kottacheru, right? So we're saying that these people lived in a village near Kottacheru. So they went to this Kottacheru town. They saw a movie late in the night.
Kottacheru is a neighboring town of Puttaparthi.
Right, just neighboring, from 15 minutes by bus or something from here, right? So Swami said they were coming back, and in the middle, they were talking about the movie. They lost their way. Okay? So Swami is saying that one person is saying, no, we have to go like this. The other person is saying, we have to go like this. Then just as they were discussing, Swami was saying, then a group of dogs started howling in a distance. Right? They started barking and howling. So one of the person in the group said, hey, that dog sounds like the dog from my village, so we'll have to go in that direction. Okay. So then the other person said, no, how do you know? You can never be sure. One more chap said, you know, it might be a fox which is howling, you never know. And so they were like in more confusion than before. So they nevertheless kept walking in one direction. And Swami said, at one particular junction, there was this huge street lamp which showed the different roads which way they go. Right? So they went up till there. After they went there, they could recognize the road which was leading to their village. And they went back home. Swami said, that's always the story.
Okay, be a street lamp.
Right? And then Swami said, so what did the street lamp do? And the way Swami puts it, did the street lamp do bhajans? Did the street lamp give speeches? Swami said, the street lamp did what it was meant to do. It was just there doing its job, right?
Yeah.
And Swami said, that's all I want you to do. I don't want you to go speak, sing, or any of these things. Go be what Swami wants you to be, and people will find their way looking at you. You don't have to worry about anything.
In fact, just concluding this whole discovery experience, towards the end, when I was leaving Discovery, that was when, you know, a bigger hammer kind of hit my head.
So you were there for like 6 months?
6 months. I was there for 6 months, and it's no short time, actually. 6 months is quite substantial to either make or break, I would say. So, towards the end, like the last day, now I had to actually leave them. And first of all, people were saying, why are you leaving? Who will leave Discovery and go to any other office? I mean, you have such great career. I said, no, but I have to go back. So where are you going to go back? What are you going to do? That's when I started telling people that I actually am from an ashram. And I'm going back to the ashram. They were stunned. They said, oh my God, that's why you're so calm and composed all the time.
Oh, so everybody did not know that you're from Sai Baba?
90% of the people didn't know.
Only those
four or five of them whom I worked with. And another point to be noted was, I did not tell them anything about Swami. Only this person who had read about Swami and had so much of venom inside him, because he asked, there was an occasion to speak. Otherwise, I decided I'm not going to tell them about Swami. I'm not going to tell them about the greatness of his service or what he did or what he stood for. Nothing. I was just doing my work. And the last day, many people said, oh my God, that's why we have always observed you. You're always smiling. When you come into the office, you greet everybody. Just see the things they observe. Then there was one girl who said, I mean, that she referred to a particular incident when everybody was dejected, how you were still happy. And you were still, you were encouraging them, I didn't know, it was a very casual thing. I said, why break head over something which has already happened? See, then I learned that so many things which we take for granted, it becomes a part of us. Our whole attitude has been so influenced by Swami's words and Swami's way of life that we don't realize how powerful it is. And when I told them, well, that was just natural. I mean, I was just trying to be good. When, no man, everybody was so down. You were so nice. I've never seen a more positive person than you. I said, wow, that's something. And people whom I never spoke to in the entire 6 months, because they were in different departments, but it's like an open office, so everybody sees everybody else. And all of them said, oh, how interesting. We want to visit the ashram. We have never heard of Satya Sai Baba. But, I mean, we know you, man. And then, actually, one of those persons said, see, I don't know about Satya Sai Baba, but over these months, I respect you. And if you respect him, I will respect him.
I think, I think that says it all. And in fact, dear listeners, a few months after that, we had a whole group of people from the Discovery team, from different parts of India, from different parts of the world also, flying into Puttaparthi to participate in a workshop that was held in Prashant Nilayam, which was an technically enriching experience for all of us at Radio Sai. But today, when we look back at it, it is evident that Sai Prakash was an instrument in that happening, and to be an instrument, as it is evident from his experience, one need not speak about Swami, preach about Swami, or glorify him, stand for him, or fight for him. If one can just be the street lamp, the way Prem narrated it, if we can just be the street lamp, need not bark around like street dogs, everything will get enlightened.
No, that was really my experience. And one thing which, I mean, I won't take long, but I just wanted to add this point, that people are very, very honest. See, we have to give them credit for what
is due.
They are very honest. Yes, many of them may be very biased, but they are very honest in what they try to do. The problem with Swami, the problem with spirituality is, it starts where logic ends. And that is something which
we are very uncomfortable with.
Like, they think that with all their logical mind, they can rationalize, they can actually approach. But Swami is not like that. He is the other way around. He says, have faith, and then everything will get solved.
Exactly.
Your faith does not grow on you. You either have faith or you don't have faith.
It goes back to that incident which you narrated many times, even in the satsang, of that journalist who came to Swami.
Right, right.
Janardhan Thakur, supposed to be a very eminent journalist, who had also, like the other people, heard a lot of things about Swami, and he had his own things. But again, it all comes down to honesty at the end of the day. You know,
right.
Are you able to honestly look at what is in front of you? And when you get honest, data, are you ready to swing your opinion based on
Absolutely.
That? Many times we don't do that. So he was narrating how once he was in a flight, and interestingly, on the same flight, he saw Swami was sitting there.
Right.
It was a flight from Bangalore to Hyderabad. So he made bold to just walk up to Swami, and he said, Sai Baba, I would like to talk to you. I've heard so much about you, read so much about you. I would like to have a small interaction with you. And Swami said, I'm going to Hyderabad now, but after a week or so, I'm coming back to Bangalore. You come to Whitefield. I'll meet you there.
Swami okay.
said. So he was very happy. I mean, he was first of all surprised. That he could approach Swami like this, and Swami very well was very welcoming. Had he been a devotee, I think it would have been difficult. That's when you will have to go through the process of pining and yearning and all that.
Things are, Prem, I'm sorry for interrupting, because just today, it's very fresh in my mind, I heard the experience of one of my classmates. He was just visiting after a long time, and he was narrating, because this classmate of mine, when I was with him, I just felt that he got so many things undeservedly, so-called. Hey, why is Swami giving him this? Why is Swami giving him that? Today he was on the verge of tears, saying that, hey, Bhagwan, actually, now when I've realized the value, I'm pining and I'm getting only little. When I didn't know the value, it was all showered on me. So now I look back to those days, go and dig those treasures and use it. I was just reminded of this when you said that as devotees, we have to pine and crave. I think that is in no way to say that it's better to not be a devotee, because you'll get, because all said and done, apart from getting, how we value it also decides how much benefit we get from that.
And absolutely. The valuing part, that is where the thing is, where we spoke about that argumentation last time. See, earlier, we were talking about the three different types of argumentation according to the Vedic tradition,
mm-hmm.
where you have something called the Vada tradition, where if the other person convinces you, you're supposed to embrace his school of thought.
Okay.
So that is the honesty which has to be brought in when you come into an argumentation, which we never have.
Mm.
We're always trying to, you know, establish our argument, or we very meekly say that, oh, fine, I mean, you can have your own this one. We don't even say that, you know, we agree with you, we don't agree with you. So many times it happens, that means that's where it comes to honesty. So that is actually one of the things which worked in favor of this particular journalist, Janardhan Thakur, you know. So he goes, so he was very happy that Swami invited him. So he goes back to Vrindavan after a couple of weeks and said, word is sent that Swami so-and-so has come. So he goes inside and, you know, Swami comes forward and kind of welcomes him. Swami said, ah, come, come, I was waiting for you. And very warmly Swami just holds his hand and speaks to him. Nothing unnatural if you know Swami, and in fact it's just a very pleasant gesture that anybody would do. But he was so moved by that warmth with which Swami held his hand and spoke to him. So the first thing was that, and then Swami calls him for an interview. And Swami says, ask whatever you want to ask. So he asks all the questions that is in his mind about materialization, this and that. And very calmly Swami answers everything. And the last question that he asked was the most wonderful thing. He said, Swami, why are you not taking questions like this and answering the people who keep asking questions about you? He said, because you're going to come out in flying colors. You know, it's not that you don't have the answers to these questions. Then why are you not probably having an open press conference where anybody can ask you questions and you answer them? And Swami gave a very beautiful answer. He said, one who is above the senses, how can one who is below the senses ever understand?
Absolutely.
He said, when I am beyond the senses, you can never understand below your senses. Swami then said that, you know, you came with sincerity, so I gave you the access. But that is all it is. There is no necessity for him to assert himself or to, you know, put himself there and prove his worth. I mean, that's never Swami's agenda. I think that should be the line of thought we, you know, take also.
One thought. Over the senses and below the senses. As I was just telling, where logic ends and where faith comes in, that's where it starts. Just to complete again the last segment of the discovery story, this same person who was so much against Swami, and we are still good friends, and I really don't hold it against him, because I remember this incident you were saying, like, as much as he's not able to understand and comprehend Swami, we are in the same boat.
Absolutely.
So how do we, you know, how are we different? So things were going, and the last day as I was leaving, so when I went up to this particular person, he held my hand with a lot of love and affection. He held my hand and he said, Sai, you know what? You pray to Baba for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed, I was surprised. I said, come on, you're joking. He said, no man, looking at your faith, I still don't believe in Baba. And maybe my time will come later. I still don't believe in him. I'm not able to put the things together. But seeing you and seeing the influence he has had on your life, and your faith in him, please pray for me also. I said, okay, thank you, Swami.
On that note, dear listeners, we will take a little break, and on the other side of the break, we'll continue with this discussion. There are many more interesting stories to come, so don't go away anywhere. A little break now, and we'll be back after a few minutes.
Buddha Mahavira Yeshu Sai. Allah Yeshu Sat బుద్ధ మహావీర యేషు సాయి
Welcome back, dear listeners. We shall continue on our be, do, tell theme of facing criticism on Swami and how we respond to it. You know, Prem, when I look back at my own life, one interesting episode comes to mind where it helps for us to look at all these instances, you know, where people criticize our guru, where people criticize our Swami, as an opportunity for us to grow in our love and faith of Swami. You know, this was when I was in 8th standard. I had joined the Sri Satyasai Vidyapeeth Srishailam in Calicut, Kerala, Swami school. When I joined there in 7th grade, I realized that it was Satyasai Vidyapeeth only possibly in the title board, because more than half of the students who came there, they had like zero influence of Swami on them, no idea. They were just happy with the good quality of education and the affordability of education. Many of them had traveled from far off places in India like Bihar and Assam, and even from the neighboring country Nepal, many had come there. You know, in fact, I would feel that half the school strength was Biharis, Nepalis and Northeast students. So that is what that had attracted them. And I found myself to be in a minority, you know. I had thought that everybody would be Swami devotees, but I was a minority. And so what Sai Prakash faced at Discovery, I faced on a regular basis. And my response was nowhere near his, because I would give back. If people criticize Swami, gave wrong words about Swami, if they abused Swami, I would abuse that fellow's father and mother, you know. And it would lead to a hand fight, because you call bad names to your somebody's parents, they get wild. And I was trying to make them understand that you calling bad names and vulgar names to Swami is equivalent like that for me. But that part was never understood, so it would lead to hand fights. I still have got a few scars on that on my body, and I'm sure I've left behind many more scars on others' bodies. So all this would happen. And when I reached 8th grade, I thought that there would be one turning point, because I felt the only way to escape all this was to join Swami school in Prashanti, where I would be at peace and I could pursue my love interest in Bhagwan, you know. So, in 8th grade, I got this chance to give a talk in Sai Kulwant Hall for the festival of Onam, which is a Kerala festival, and students from Satyasai Vidyapeeth would come. They now also continue to come. Mm-hmm. Now a lot of things have changed in the school. This is, I'm speaking about 1997-96. So I thought this is an opportunity for me, when I give a speech in Bhagwan's presence, to go and tell him, Swami, please take me into your school. That was the only goal in my life. And that year, sadly, due to some person coming late or whatever, you know, ultimately it's Bhagwan's will, the speech got cancelled. So my speech got cancelled and I was heartbroken. My mother tried to console me, saying that in Darshan lines, you know, you showed your speech and Swami took the speech copy from you, so don't worry, your speech has reached him. But all that made no sense. I was heartbroken, and the heartbreak became even more painful when I returned to Srishailam, because now everybody, you know what they were saying? They were saying, this guy says he's some big devotee, Swami doesn't care a damn for him. Mm. And they used it against me, saying that only speaks of how pathetic your devotion is. Mm-hmm. Definitely there was truth in it, because I'm not a perfect devotee, but that's what angered me even more. And, you know, I was telling Swami, how could you do this to me? I am your only soldier in this place. You know, I am the one who is fighting for you and you let me down. You know, if somebody else had got a chance to, because that year, apart from the speech, there was also a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And in that drama were at least five characters who I felt cared a damn about Swami. And the drama was performed in his presence, and Swami gifted them group photos, everything. And you know, people began to say that, look at this guy, he criticizes Swami, and Swami doesn't even know that. Okay, and this fellow says he's a devotee, what devotee is, if he's God. You know, it went on, it became even more pungent, the criticism. So I would keep away from such people, but it was always there in my heart. 2 years passed, and 2 years later, again I got an opportunity to give a speech, and this time, you know, I wanted to really ask Swami to give me a seat, at least in 11th grade, so that I can escape all this. That time, as I sat before my speech, my heart was beating in trepidation. I thought, again, if it gets cancelled, I don't know what I will do, and all that was there, but nothing of that sort happened. Swami just looked and told, come, give a talk. In that short walk from my place to Bhagwan, you know, 100 things flashed before my mind, and most of them were thoughts of me sitting all alone in that open bhajan hall. You know, we have a beautiful open bhajan hall in Sri Shailam. It still continues to be there, and I felt it very symbolic of how the Lord's house is.
Mm-hmm.
All the windows, all the doors, everything is open. You know, it's not just the people who are welcome, birds, crows, sparrows, all are welcome. Look at our Kulwant hall. Mm-hmm. It's open. You never lock up Kulwant hall because the Lord's house is always open. You're always welcome. And many nights after everybody sleeps, I would sneak out of the hostel, go to the bhajan hall, sit and simply cry, telling Swami, what is this you are doing? What is this you are doing? And you know, all this flashed in my mind, and I don't know why, instead of telling Swami, give me a seat in your school, what came out of my mouth was, Swami, keep me always with you. And Swami patted me, and the speech happened, and after the speech, I remember going back and again telling my mother that, Mom, I made a mistake, you know, I didn't ask for admission even now. My mom said, then what did you speak to him? I said, Mom, I told him, keep me with you always. She said, don't worry, you have asked the right thing. But I was not convinced. My mom said, you asked the right thing, but I said, oh God, I should have asked admission. Now, it's a different story that few days later, Swami was giving Pad Namaskar. He himself asked me what I was doing. He guided me. He told me to take bioscience in the school. And next year, I got into the school. But today, looking back at this incident, I just feel those 2 years of difficult situation actually increased my craving for Swami, increased my love for Swami. And I'm so grateful to Swami for those two hard years, because of which I feel I threw away a lesser boon and asked for possibly the greatest boon. I am so grateful to Swami that he made me ask for keeping me with him forever, because I don't think there can be any boon more fantastic than that. So today, as I said in the beginning, I feel that if we can look at situations where people come and criticize Swami or butcher Swami or put us into a circumstance which is very uncomfortable with regards to Swami, I think we should somehow try to use those as stepping stones to grow in our own craving and love and feeling for Bhagwan. And when we are able to do that, we will see that people coming and criticizing actually become great blessings in our spiritual path.
I mean, it's not only about using those as opportunity, but I think they are given there, I mean, you're put there for a certain purpose. In fact, you know, we don't understand that as much as probably the women students of Swami's colleges. Because when they would go out, many of them have this thing, you know, they get married into families which are not initiated into Swami. Some are non-devotees, some are in fact very, very critical about Swami. And, you know, they always have this fear, you know, Swami, if I land up in a place and I don't have the right environment to continue my devotion to you, what would happen? Because this is the closest to me in my life. A lot of devotees have this feeling, you know, even some of our boy students also have this feeling. I should not get a wife who is not able to relate to my devotion to Swami. That's always a fear. And it's more when it comes to women, because, you know, you completely go to a different house. That's the Indian tradition. So many times Swami would say,
so you are a minority. At least if you are a man,
right, exactly.
So your family is there to back you.
And most often the Indian tradition is the lady who enters into a house takes on all the traditions of that house. You know, she does not bring the traditions from her home, but she takes the traditions from the house she's entering.
It's a patriarchal society.
Patriarchal society, right? And always this fear is there, and Swami would always tell them that, you know, you don't realize that that wherever you go, Swami is coming with you, and actually it's a means of you bringing Swami into a new house.
Hmm.
But that calls for a lot of devotion and maturity, and many times, you know, you're put in this situation because that is what enhances your love and devotion. We have spoken about that topic extensively of Swami speaking about the three zeros. Right? And that one, what we always speak of is the zero of fame, where you will be put in a place where people will stand around you and criticize you for something which probably, you know, when you say that I'm devoted to Swami and people criticize you, probably that's the only, you know, bright spot in my character. And people around me are criticizing me for that.
Hmm.
That's really a test what you have to go through. And as you're saying, you know, it's one way, one reason is it actually takes you closer to Swami. And if it really has to work that way, you also have to see it as an opportunity, which many times we miss because we, in the process of fighting against the whole thing, we miss out the real growth which happens, you know, in the process.
So I think that is another important and valid point to keep in mind, that these circumstances, when God is in charge of the whole universe, He definitely knows these circumstances, and if I have been put in the circumstances, it is with a reason. With this attitude, when we approach that circumstance, like you said, we will be able to use it for our own personal growth and get growing our love towards Swami. Another thing, you know, that comes to mind is, if we believe that this circumstance is divine plan, then it is obvious that even the critic is part of the divine plan, you know. How can there be a critic if Swami has not willed that a person has to be a critic? If we are looking at everything as a divine plan, this also becomes part of it. Like Swami would say, you don't have a light without darkness. You don't have happiness without sorrow. In the dual world, dualities always exist because that is the nature of the world. The only way to remove darkness is to remove light. Because if there is light, there is bound to be a shadow, there is bound to be darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. So too, when we speak of a lover of God, there is bound to be a critic of God. In fact, Swami says, it is darkness that helps us appreciate light. It makes us enjoy light. It is pain that makes us actually enjoy pleasure. Otherwise, you will not be able to enjoy pleasure. So in this perspective, when we see, we get to realize that critics too are part of the cosmic plan. In fact, I remember our late CLN Murthy sir, who used to teach Sanskrit in our institute, he used to narrate an incident of a close friend of his, you know, not a friend actually, a colleague of his, who would be vitriolic in his attacks on Swami, who would keep criticizing Swami, condemning Swami. And one day sir had thought that he would tell him about the different aspects of Swami. And when he started speaking, the other person said that, yeah, I know all this. You know, I know all this. He says, then how come you don't, when you know all this, don't you realize that this is something phenomenal that's happening? He says, yes, I know it is a phenomenal thing. And this shocked him even more, because if this is a phenomenal thing, then what on earth are you doing going and criticizing? Then to his utter shock, the other person reveals that he actually loves Bhagwan and follows Bhagwan. And Swami had told him that if you love me, go ahead, go out and write against me. And this was a revelation that shocked CLN Murthy sir, and he used to often narrate this, saying that we never know, and we think that a critic is doing on his own. Possibly this was a critic whom Swami has directly said, but there are critics whom Swami might not have directly said, but does that make it any less divinely directed by Bhagwan? In fact, Sanjay Sani sir, he would narrate 2-3 times where Bhagwan has said, if I don't get criticism, I will pay and buy criticism. So when our Bhagwan is such a leeladhari, I think we should not get shocked or get hurt and almost stagger, thinking that how can a person be so critical, how can a person be so acidic in his attack. Because when we accept everything as Bhagwan's will, the critic is also part of the divine plan.
Very true. In fact, you know, the whole problem comes when, as we stated it in many words last time, that as long as the focus light is not on ourselves, it's on somebody else, then we are misdirected. Our arguments are misdirected. Our approach to try to correct people's views, everything is misdirected. The whole idea comes out to, you know, yes, you have to defend Swami. Yes, you have the desire to defend Swami. But the question becomes, can you defend Swami the way Swami wants to be defended, not the way you want to be defended? You know, many times that's where we miss out. In fact, one of the incidents which I recall from my classmates who were narrating, they were working in a scientific lab in Bangalore, after their studies. Few of them, they were all working in one of the very good labs in Bangalore. So they had to come to Swami, I think it was during the convocation time or something like that, when they wanted to take off and come to Swami. And just then, about a month or so before that, they got a new boss who came from a different country and who was like this, very, very critical about Swami. The moment you just have to mention Swami's name and he'll go off ballistic. Right? And when he came to know that there are these boys who are from Swami's university, he would never miss a chance to, you know, rub it into these boys. And every mistake that he would come across, he would say, you know, this is what your...
And blame Swami for it.
Yeah, university has taught you. This is what Sai Baba has taught you. And that's the nature of the world. You can't escape it. Right? So one day this boy went up to him and said, sir, I want to off for a week because I'm going to Puttaparthi. And that's it. You know, he went off and he said, you know, is this what you learn, professionalism you've come with, and you're useless, and all of those things. And then he started, you know, reviling Swami also. So this boy said, sir, if you don't want to give me a leave, don't give me. But I'm not going to stand here and listen to you talking ill about Swami. He said, I don't want your leave. It's okay, I'll go back to work. Yeah, it's a convocation, it's a big thing for us, we need to be there. But I don't want to listen to such words for the sake of that. And he went back. He said, I don't want to leave. So this matter ended, you know, in a week when they were hostile, they didn't talk to each other. So one day about 6:37 in the evening, this person walks into this lab. You know, it's a huge lab with different people running different reactions. He walks into the lab and he finds that there are about 10, 11 researchers are doing something in the lab. And he's surprised because it's an unnatural thing for them to stay on so late. Most of the people are like, they start winding up from 1 hour before the closing time, right? They're just waiting to go away and go back to their, you know, rest of their lives. But he found these 10 fellows and who were just running this experiment, whatever they were doing. So he walked up to one of them and said, what are you still doing in the lab? And he said, no, sir, I've just got to finish this. If I don't finish this, then, you know, you'll lose reagents and all of that. He had his own reasons to explain. So he went around asking each one of these people what happened, and each one had a reason which was, you know, which would probably benefit the lab for them to stay back and do that. It was out of sincerity that they were doing that.
Something that is unnatural, possibly.
Right, unnatural, probably. But then, after he went around, he realized that all the 11 or 12 boys who were doing the research there were all students from our university. There were quite a number of students at that time working there, and all of them were Swami students. And that really hit that person. It's not in a bad way, but here is a researcher, for him probably work is worship in that sense, you know. His sincerity and his worship was all in the form of that sincerity you show in the work that you're doing. But when he saw that Swami was achieving it through devotion, I mean, he could not counter that after that. You know, he said, yeah, Swami is giving you what is most important from my point of view also. Right? You know, that is what finally is the value of this be, do and tell. It's not you defending Swami the way you want using your ego, but you're doing it in a way that Swami wants, which actually benefits you, and in ways that you cannot understand, it benefits the other person also.
It is so amazing, because this incident also, you know, almost like a rude shake-up for each one of us to look at our own lives and see where we are on the spectrum, you know, in our defense of Swami or in our responses, in our own work life. What is sincerity? Are we really doing every task we do as if we are doing it for Bhagwan? Because when we have love for Swami, the way we do everything for Swami, we know it. But are we able to do everything as an offering to Bhagwan? I think in order to do like that, we have to first be how Bhagwan expects us to. And therefore, again, it reinforces the same thing, that it starts with be, then do, and finally tell. Because, you know, when you look at the different situations, possibly a situation that came in my life versus one in Sai Prakash's life versus one in your life versus somebody else's life, these are all interesting pointers which possibly bring out different kind of reactions. So now one may be forced to ask, okay, so what is the best reaction? I think the best reaction or best response is something that will come from one's own heart when we be, and then when we do what Bhagwan expects us to be and what Bhagwan expects us to do. Automatically, what we tell, how we tell, the tact, you know, all these are symptoms of being what Bhagwan wants us to be. I don't think we should focus on what are the kind of replies we should give, what are the tact we should use, what are the intelligent argument. I don't think we should focus on that. But I think if we focus on being, the response that is apt for that situation will automatically come. I'm reminded of an example that Bhagwan would give of two dear disciples of the same master, both who got bang opposite, you know, poles apart. The advice that they got were poles apart when it came to defending their own guru. And Swami would often narrate it in his discourses. I think we'll first hear Bhagwan narrate it in his beautiful golden voice and then continue our discussion before concluding it after that.
Right, and this is from a discourse that Swami delivered on the 19th of June,
1996.
Ramakrishna Paramahamsa stayed there in Kamarakpur at that time.
Kamarakpur lo chinna ashram pettukoni undeetundi vaadu.
He has got an ashram over there.
Akkada nunchi papa Ramakrishna Paramahamsa koncham aaharamlo koncham marpu.
He has got certain changes in his dietary habits.
Atha nityam kodanu adi Bengal desham lopala brahmanulu kodanu matsyam ani ga chepalu tintuntaru.
Being the state of Bengal, even Brahmins relish fish.
Vaadu matsya brahmana antaru.
They are called matsya brahmana, fish Brahmins.
వాళ్ళు స్నానం చేయడానికి పోతే ఆ గంగా నదిలో కాళ్ళకంతా వచ్చి కలుచుకుంటాయి చేపలు. అట్టే చేతిలో పట్టుకుంటారు, చేతిలో పట్టుకుని ఇంటికి వస్తుంటారు.
When they go to Ganges for bath, they will naturally come across the fish, they will catch it and bring them home.
కనుక కమలపూర్ నుంచి కూడాను కలకత్తా పోవాలంటే బోటు అనగా గంగా నదిని దాటాలి.
సో ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు రీచ్ కమలపూర్ హి హస్ టు క్రాస్ దిస్ గంగెస్ బై బోట్.
చిన్నవారి నందని చేర్చుకొని రామకృష్ణ పరమహంస ఎప్పుడు కూడాను ఆధ్యాత్మికంగా దైవరీతీయంగా కథలు చెప్తూ ఉండేటువంటి వాడు.
గ్యాదరింగ్ ఆల్ యంగ్స్టర్స్ రామకృష్ణ పరమహంస యూజ్ టు టీచ్ వెరీ నైస్ స్పిరిచువల్ థింగ్.
కానీ ఈనాటి కలి ప్రభావము మంచి సత్సంగాన్ని చూస్తే హాస్యం చేయటము.
As a result of this Kali age, people make fun of good company.
ఏమిరా చిన్న వయసులో ఇప్పుడే నీకు ఎందుకు ఇంత భక్తి, ఇంకా ఉద్యోగం చేసి రిటైర్డ్ అయిన తర్వాత ఆ తర్వాత నువ్వు ఏదో రామకృష్ణగా ఉంది అనుకో.
People say this, why do you have this devotion at this
time? Why
devotion
at this time?
Even parents also criticize,
discourage children.
And youth gathered around Ramakrishna.
Oka timetable ivesadu Ramakrishna.
Ramakrishna has set a timetable.
Palan dinam neevu, palan dinam neevu, palan dinam neevu. Anaga emi city ki povatamu chapalu teesukoni raavali.
He has set a timetable. Everyone should go one every day and bring fish from the city.
Oka naadu Brahmanandamu.
One day,
వెళ్ళాడు బోట్ లో.
ఇట్ వాజ్ ది టర్న్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మానంద. హీ వెంట్ ఆన్ హిస్ బోట్.
ఈ బ్రహ్మానంద వస్తుండగా ఈ కాషాయ వస్త్రాలను చూచారు ఈ పడవ వాళ్ళు.
ద బోట్ మెన్ సా దిస్ ఆకర్ రోబ్ బ్రహ్మానంద.
ఇంకా మొదలు పెట్టారు దూషణ.
దే స్టార్టెడ్ క్రిటిసిజం.
ఆ పిచ్చి వాళ్ళకి ఒక పని లేదు, ఈ పిచ్చి పిల్లలకు ఒక పని లేదు, అనవసరంగా పిచ్చి పిల్లలందరినీ చేర్చుకుని ఈ విధంగా చెడగొడుతున్నాడు అతను, దొంగ అట్టవాడి ఇట్టవాడి రామకృష్ణ ఇష్టం వచ్చినట్టుగా దూషిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
ద బోట్ మెన్ వెంట్ ఆన్ అక్యూజింగ్ రామకృష్ణ. హియర్ ఇస్ అ మ్యాడ్ క్యాబ్, హియర్ ఆర్ మ్యాడ్ క్యాబ్, ది చిల్డ్రన్ హియర్. And they used to look at him like a madman.
కాని గురువును దూషిస్తున్నారని చెప్పని సహించుకోలేకపోయాడు.
బ్రహ్మానంద కుడ్ నాట్ హియర్ ఆల్ దిస్.
కానీ ఏం చేయగలడు, మెత్తని వాడు. నోరు మూసుకున్నాడు, వెళ్ళాడు, చేపలు తీసుకున్నాడు, తిరిగి పడవలేక రావాలంటే మరి భయం.
He's a very soft man. He could not give reply. He came home with the fish.
ఏం విమర్శిస్తారో ఏమిటో అని భయం.
As he returned, he was fear stricken because anything may happen on the way.
తిరిగి వచ్చాడు.
He returned.
బ్రహ్మానంద రామన్నాడు.
పరమహంస కాల్ బ్రహ్మానంద కమ్.
వచ్చేటప్పటికి కన్నులు తుడుచుకుంటూ వచ్చాడు, ఏడ్చుకుంటూ.
హి వాస్ జస్ట్ వైపింగ్ అవుట్ హిస్ టియర్స్.
ఎందుకోసం ఏడుస్తున్నావు?
దెన్ వై డు యు క్రై?
స్వామి,
స్వామి,
ఈ ప్రజలు మిమ్మల్ని అనరాని మాటలు అంటున్నారు.
పీపుల్ ఆర్ యూజింగ్ వెరీ హార్ష్ వర్డ్స్ విచ్ దే ఆర్ నాట్.
చాలా కఠినమైనటువంటి వాక్కులతో మిమ్మల్ని విమర్శిస్తున్నారు.
దే ఆర్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ యూ ఇన్ స్ట్రాంగ్ వర్డ్స్.
మమ్మల్ని విమర్శించినా పర్వాలేదు.
డజంట్ మ్యాటర్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ దే క్రిటిసైజ్.
మిమ్మల్ని విమర్శిస్తున్నారు, నేను వినలేను, చాలా దుఃఖంగా ఉంది అన్నాడు.
I am very sad because they were criticizing you.
Kopam vachindi Ramakrishnaku.
Ramakrishna was angry.
Chi guru dushana vineetvanti okka shishudu, ee okka shishuda, ee ashramalo undadaniki veelledu, get out annadu.
Ramakrishna said, Brahmananda, you are a disciple, can you hear all the accusation charges made against your teacher? Get out, you have no place here.
Ettanu vintu vachavu?
How could you listen?
గురు దూషణ వినటం నీకు పాపం కాదా?
ఇస్ నాట్ ఎ సిన్ టు లిసన్?
దూషణ చేయడం వారికే పాపము, వినటం నీకు పాపమే అని అన్నాడు.
దే కమిటెడ్ ఎ సిన్ ఇన్ అక్యూజింగ్ మీ అండ్ యూ కమిటెడ్ ఎ సిన్ ఇన్ లిసనింగ్ టు దట్.
కానీ ఏం చేయగలడు?
వాట్ ఈస్ దట్?
తిరిగి ఏడ్చాడు, కూర్చున్నాడు.
ఈ క్రైడ్ ఫర్ ద సెకండ్
టైం. సెకండ్ డే నరేంద్ర ఛాన్స్ వచ్చింది.
సెకండ్ డే వాస్ ది ఛాన్స్ ఆఫ్ నరేన్.
ఇది వివేకానంద.
వివేకానంద
ఇతను పోతూ పోయాడు.
ఈవెంట్
ఇతను పోతున్నట్టు ఇతను కూడా ఆ విధంగా దూషించారు.
దే స్టార్టెడ్ అక్యూజింగ్ ఇన్ సేమ్ స్టైల్.
అందరూ పోర్ట్ పీపుల్ అంతా కూడా ఇతని హాస్యం చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
ఆల్ బోట్మెన్ మేడ్ ఫన్ ఆఫ్ హిమ్.
పడవ ఎక్కాడు.
హి గాట్ ఇన్ ద బోట్.
టికెట్ తీసుకున్నాడు.
హి పర్చేస్ టికెట్.
హే నోర్ మూయి.
అరే షట్ అప్ హి సెడ్.
ఎవరు తిట్టున్నారు వారు నోరు మూయి అన్నాడు.
ద వన్ హూ యాక్చువల్లీ స్టడ్ అప్
ఫస్ట్. కానీ వాడు ఇంకా తిట్టు వచ్చారు.
షల్ హి వెంట్ ఆన్.
బాగా తన శక్తి కొద్ది కొట్టాడు వాడు.
హి స్లాప్డ్ హిమ్ ఆన్ బోత్
చీక్స్. ఒకని ఎత్తుకున్నాడు.
హి
గంగల వేసేస్తాను.
హి లిఫ్టెడ్ వన్ ఫెలో రెడీ టు డ్రౌన్ హిమ్ ఇన్ గంగెస్.
భయపడిపోయారు.
దే వర్ ఆల్ ఫియర్ స్ట్రికెన్.
ఎవ్వరూ ఇంకా తిరిగి నోరెత్తలేదు.
నోబడీ ఓపెన్ దేర్ మౌత్.
తిరిగి పోయాడు. చేపలు తీసుకున్నాడు. తిరిగి వచ్చాడు. ఇతను వస్తున్నందుకు అందరికీ భయం.
హి వెంట్ దేర్ బ్రాట్ ద ఫిష్ అండ్ వాస్ రిటర్న్.
ఎవ్వరూ మాట్లాడలేదు.
నోబడీ ఓపెన్ దేర్ మౌత్.
వచ్చిన తర్వాత నరేంద్ర రా అన్నాడు.
రామకృష్ణ సెడ్ నరేంద్ర కమ్ హియర్.
ఏం జరిగింది?
వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్?
నిన్న బ్రహ్మానందకు జరిగింది జరిగింది అన్నాడు.
సేమ్ థింగ్. వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్ యెస్టర్డే టు బ్రహ్మానంద?
ఏం చేశావన్నాను.
వాట్ డిడ్ యు డు?
నేను ఊరుకుంటానా? నా గురువును దూషిస్తుంటే నేను సహించుకోగలనా? నేను లేదు, బాగా రెండు కొట్టాను. తిరిగి ఒక ఎత్తి గంగలు వేయడానికి ప్రయత్నించాను అన్నాడు.
డూ ఐ కీప్ క్వైట్ when they criticize my teacher? Would I keep quiet? I was ready to
Ramakrishna
down one fellow, push him into the Ganges.
చీ 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 చీ. వేసిండేది కాషాయ వస్త్రము, ఉండేది ఆశ్రమ నివాసము. నీకు ఇంత మాత్రం కోపం నీ నిగ్రహించుకోలేకపోతే నువ్వెందుకు ఆశ్రమంలో ఉండాలి?
He said, what a shame it is. As a celibate, you should be peaceful.
అప్పుడు చెప్పాడు నరేంద్రుడు.
Then Narendra said,
ఆయన పూర్వం బ్రహ్మ సమాజంలో ఉన్నటువంటి వాడే.
He is also a member of Brahma Samaj.
స్వామి,
స్వామి,
నిన్న బ్రహ్మానందమునికి ఆ విధంగా చెప్పావు, ఈనాడు నాకు విరుద్ధంగా చెప్తున్నారే, అది నిజమా ఇది నిజమా అన్నాడు.
He said, Swami, you told something to Brahmananda yesterday and you are telling opposite to me. What is true here?
Mare pichivada.
Oh, madcap.
Tire lopala gaadu ekkuva undani teeseyyala, takkuva undani kottale.
When there is excess of air in a tire, you have to remove it. When there is less of air, you have to
gaadu takkuva untundali kanukane nenu baadalu udali.
The tire of Brahmananda, there is less of air, therefore
temper chala short temper, dinu tagginchali.
నరేని షార్ట్ టెంపర్, దేర్ఫోర్ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి కట్.
కనుకనే పరిస్థితుల ప్రభావాన్ని పురస్కరించుకుని ఏ ప్రబోధన జరపాలి.
సో బేసింగ్ ఆన్ ద సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్ టీచింగ్ షుడ్ బి గివెన్.
కనుక ఈ టీచింగ్స్ కూడాను అందరికీ సమానమైనటువంటివి కాదు.
టీచింగ్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ యూనిఫామ్ టు ఎవ్రీబడీ.
ఒక్కొక్కరి కెపాసిటీ, ఒక్కొక్కరి కంటైనర్ ఏ విధంగా ఉంటుందో అంతవరకు ఇది నిండుతుంటాడు.
టీచింగ్ షుడ్ బి గివెన్ ఇన్ అకార్డెన్స్ టు ద కెపాసిటీ అండ్ ద కంటైనర్.
గంగా నదిలో కావలసినంత జలం ఉంటుండాలి.
దేర్ ఇస్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్.
ఎవరెవరు ఎంతెంత పాత్ర తీసుకుని పోతారో అంత పాత్రకే నించుకోవాల్సి వస్తుంది.
యాజ్ ఈస్ ది కంటైనర్ సో ఇస్ ద మెజర్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్.
అందరికీ సమానమే అనేటువంటి చెప్పడానికి వీలు కాదు.
యూ కెనాట్ ఈక్వల్లీ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూట్.
కనుకని ఆధ్యాత్మిక మార్గం కూడాను
సో ది స్పిరిచువల్ ఫాస్ట్
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి వారి వారి శక్తానుసారంగా క్రమశిక్షణ అనుసరించినప్పుడు వారికి తగినటువంటి శక్తిని అందిస్తుంటాడు భగవంతుడు.
వెన్ దే ఫాలో డిసిప్లిన్ టు ది ఎక్స్టెంట్ పాసిబుల్ గాడ్ విల్ గివ్ దెం ది కెపాసిటీ ది అబిలిటీ.
కనుక మన కెపాసిటీని పెంచుకోవాలనుకుంటే క్రమశిక్షణ సక్రమంగా ఉండాలి.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ఇంక్రీజ్ అవర్ కెపాసిటీస్ వి షుడ్ ఫాలో.
క్రమశిక్షణ లేకపోతే దైవత్వం అనేటువంటిది కూడా మనకు ప్రాప్తించదు.
Without discipline you can never attain divinity.
ఒక దినం ఒక రీతిగా, ఒక దినం ఒక రీతిగా ఉంటుంటే అది ఏమాత్రం కూడా సరైంది కాదు.
So I think that was a clip, and you know, it's an interesting conclusion to whatever we've been speaking. Because what Swami is saying there is, you know, it's not yours to choose how you're going to defend. What you have to do is, you know, just worry about what you're supposed to be according to, you know, Swami's plan. That is all that you need to worry about, and he will find out the right way to use you.
See, Prem, we had discussed this some time back, that just as pride is an expression of ego, so also self-denigration, self-criticism is also a sign of ego. And that is what Swami referred to in the end, saying that if a person is self-critical and feeling hapless, like a tire without any air, you have to pump in air into that. That's what Ramakrishna did to Brahmananda. If you are an over-inflated tire, where a slightest prick will make you explode, then the air has to be removed. And that's what Swami said, that Ramakrishna did to Vivekananda, that is Narendra. What becomes clear is, though we are not sure as to whether the response is to keep quiet and take it or to give it back, one thing is, it must not arise from our ego, neither from our diffidence nor from our overconfidence. So whatever be our response, if it is arising from ego, which is diffidence as well as overconfidence, then it is wrong. It has to arise only from self-confidence, and then you know, if it is arising from self-confidence, in one situation it will make us keep quiet, In one situation, it will make us give back possibly. In the other situation, it will make us do a third thing. So it is, again, coming back to the same point where we said that it is not important on how our response actually is. What is important is what we are and what we do. So I think this whole satsang has been very fruitful in turning our focus from how we should respond to criticism to how we should be and what we should do in our lives so that we become dear to Swami.
In fact, you know, even as I was listening to that, there is something which is very similar to that which happened around Swami, which was narrated by one of our senior lecturers, Sainath sir. Mm. You know, Sainath sir, he used to be one of the people in Swami's residence. One of the students used to assist Swami by staying in the residence. So he was narrating this incident, apparently when Swami is staying in the Purnachandra Hall. There was this MLA or a minister who had come, who was having an audience with Swami. Mm. So Swami had sent word that, you know, when this person comes, you allow him inside. So accordingly, this person came and he was ushered into Swami's, inner chambers wherever Swami would meet people.
Mm.
So this man was inside and he was talking to Swami. And these boys were waiting outside because after that Swami will come out and go for darshan. And just then, one local MLA or somebody, he romped into the place and he wanted to go into the presence where the MLA was sitting. So they had strict instruction that they're not supposed to allow anybody else because, you know, without Swami's permission, you can't allow anybody else beyond that point. So the first person there was Sainath sir. You know, he stood there and he said, "No sir, we are not supposed to allow anybody, so you can't go." So this man said, "Do you know who I am? You know, I'm an MLA. How can you stop me?" And he was walking in with his footwear. Mm. Right? He was walking into Swami's residence with his footwear. So he said, "No sir, you can't go in with your footwear. You please leave it and you come. We will make you sit here. Then later if Swami calls or the minister calls for you, we will send you inside." And again he said, "Oh, do you know who I am? I'm an MLA and all that." So then Sainath sir told him, "If you don't want to go back, you give me your slippers. I will take it and put it where it has to be put. Right, you don't even have to go all the way." And that man was like not softening at all. So finally he managed to literally elbow Sainath sir out and he went forward. The other student who was there, the second level or whatever it is, that person literally stood right in front of this man and blocked his way and he said, "You can't go forward. And if you misbehave now, I will go and complain to the minister." Right? And that is the thing which he's scared of. He's not scared of Swami or anybody else because that will mean his future of his politics will be at stake, right?
Mm-hmm.
The moment this man, the student said this sternly, "If you don't listen now, I'm going to go and tell Swami, tell the minister. So he became quiet and he went back, left his slipper, came back and sat where he was asked to sit, right? So this was the incident which never went beyond these three people, that MLA and these two students, right? That evening, Swami comes, the boys are sitting in the bhajan hall and all that. And Swami comes and Swami starts telling the boys who are sitting in the portico, "Do you know what happened today?"
And narrates this
entire incident.
Okay.
You know, like this, this man came and he was misbehaving like this. And then Swami pointed to Sainath sir and Swami told, "See, this is what he told. In fact, he so humbly told, 'Sir, I will take your slippers and I'll put it there.'" And Swami said, "See, this is what Swami's student, how ideally he's behaving and all that Swami told." And then Swami tells him, "Kani Bangaru, you should not be like this all the time. You know, if you're too soft, then people will walk over you. So, appudappudu konjam strict, firm you should be like." And Swami tells that. And then Swami goes inside the bhajan hall, right?
In Telugu, that means that now and then you have to be strict and firm.
Right. So, this was outside the bhajan hall door. And then Swami goes inside the bhajan hall. And inside the bhajan hall, the other student is sitting. Right? He was part of the bhajan group.
The bouncer.
Yeah. So, Swami narrates the whole incident again, right? And this boy is again surprised that Swami has got to know this incident and telling it with the exact details. And Swami is telling it to the student sitting in the bhajan hall. And then Swami pointed to this boy and said, "You know how firmly he told that man? So fearless he was, he told the MLA, 'I don't know who you are, I don't care who you are, but you can't do this. If you misbehave, I'm going to go and tell.'" Then Swami started praising him. "See, that is the fearlessness which comes when you're upright and all of that," Swami said. And then Swami told him, "But Bangaru, you should not be like this all the time. Sometimes you should use your soft speech." Literally the reenactment of this episode which Ramakrishna did. But finally, that's what it is. You know, it is not like, "I'm in the situation, what am I supposed to do?" I mean, it is like, is there a universal decorum which has to be followed if Swami is criticizing my presence? That is the question. No, it is not there. It always depends on what Swami expects of you. What is Are you too rude a person and Swami wants to soften you? Then what you have to do is different. Are you too soft a person and Swami wants to make you firm? Then probably what you're supposed to learn in that situation is completely different. And that is why it always becomes an individual journey, and the focus light should be on you and your relationship with Swami, what Swami expects out of you.
And when our focus is such, you know, we always look at how different people reacted when Swami is criticized. You know, you narrated an incident of Sainath sir, and again, we have, in these 2 weeks, we have come across many incidents. I think for us, when Swami is the center of our lives, it would really be the most impactful for us to learn from Swami himself. You know, how Swami reacted when he was criticized. That's why we began today with the reaction of the response of Buddha. And I'm reminded of an episode that happened somewhere in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, possibly we'll conclude with this episode because it has got, again, many messages which bring finality on this theme. At the same time, many messages that trigger our own thinking so that we can continue this inner satsang after the afternoon satsang has ended. So, these were the days when Mumbai newspapers, the Bombay newspapers, were actively writing false accusations against Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one particular reporter who used to write fantastic lies, as Dr. Bhagwantam would call it, you know, fantastic lies about Swami, just to get sensationalism. And he could not bear to read all this, Dr. Bhagwantam. His blood would boil just thinking of this reporter and how low he was stooping to do all this. One fine day, this was when Bhagwan was in Bombay at Dharmakshetra, this very reporter came to see Swami, and Dr. Bhagwantam was sure that he is here on some nefarious agenda, possibly to write an expose on Bhagwan or something like that. But the moment Swami sees him, Swami smiles brightly at him and welcomes him into the interview room as if he's some guest of honor. And Swami doesn't stop at that, you know, as if like adding further salt on his wounds. He calls Dr. Bhagwantam to act as a translator also in the same interview room. And this reporter begins to ask questions very disrespectfully and rudely. Swami is not only unfazed, but he's extending the utmost hospitalities and lovingly answering every question to this person. And Dr. Bhagwantam, literally, he's biting his lips and somehow doing the translation, because in his, he has got half a mind to just lift this guy and throw him out of the place. But because Swami is doing it, he's translating, doing his duty sincerely. At the end of that, you know, when the reporter left being profusely blessed by Bhagwan, Dr. Bhagwantam was almost frowning and, you know, sulking, standing in one corner. Swami looks at him and asks, "Why are you so disturbed, Bhagwantam?" And Bhagwantam says, "No, Swami, I'm fine." "No, Bhagwantam, you are very upset, I know. Tell me what is wrong." And when Swami asks him again and again, Dr. Bhagwantam blurts out. He says, "Swami, how could you just sit there and smile when he spoke to you like that? You know, it angers me that you did not even defend yourself. Do you know what this guy has done? I'm sure you know it. But in spite of that, you're being hospitable to him." He went on to say that, "Swami, I don't think even I have been treated like this the way you are treating him, you know." Swami lovingly smiled at him, but said it very firmly. He said, "Bhagwantam, that's possibly the difference between you and me, you know. This is Bhagwantam, this is Bhagwan." Swami said, "I am unaffected by praise and blame, whereas you are affected by both." You know, that's a very powerful statement. It's not as if you are affected by blame, you are affected by praise also. You are affected by both, I am affected by neither. That's the difference between you and me, and so therefore, it doesn't matter, you may go. You know, just to conclude this episode, it's a very interesting thing that later on this reporter became a staunch devotee of Swami. That's another story. But this is amazing. Because what becomes very clear is there is no self in Swami's response towards criticism. It is only selflessness. It is only selflessness. And in order to be able to perfectly respond to any criticism, that is what I think we have to develop, this selflessness. And Swami defines it so well. Self is lovelessness. Love is selflessness. And to become true, pure love, he is love walking on 2 feet, for us also to become that true and pure love, I think we have to grow more and more selfless.
And absolutely, I think there's nothing more to say, because Swami would very often tell, you know, and especially being in Radio Sai, we always said this, Swami sitting here, he said, I don't want anybody to publicize me. I don't want anybody to spread my message. Actually, he doesn't need anybody. But we become self-appointed defenders of Swami, and I think that is where the problem comes. Yes, there's nothing wrong in being that, but the way Swami wants us to be that is a little different. And that is where we need to get the understanding, as Swami would often say, you know, you be what I want you to be. I will ensure that people look at you and transform. That is my job. You know, you don't worry about that. I think the problem is we all the time are worrying about transforming others, and in the process probably we're missing out the most important thing of transforming ourselves. And I think that's where we need to start with.
On that note, dear listeners, we hope that this afternoon satsang, like the last one, was as enlightening to you as it has been for both of us. It has been a wonderful journey. We express our gratitude to all our listeners who took time out to share their experiences, to share their insights, to share their thoughts, their feedback. It has been extremely helpful in taking the satsang along, and both Prem and me feel that we shall possibly make this as a regular feature wherein we can take all your input so that this becomes truly a global afternoon satsang. With that, we bring this to a close, offering it as always at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. We will now end with a song, on the other side of which you'll be greeted by Brother Chandu in his segment Love to Love.
मनाते हैं खोल कर दिल आज हम ये गीत गाते हैं प्रेम के प्यार से हम साई को चाहते हैं प्रेम के प्यार से हम साई को चाहते हैं साई को चाहते हैं चाहते हैं चाहते
प्यार से हम प्रेम के प्यासे हम सारी को चाहते हैं।